I might be done having cancer. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's so great.
I will be, wait. On my PET scan is on the 30th. Mm-hmm. They might read it within that week. So let's say that's 3-4 weeks from now.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to figure out if I will be done with cancer before Snake is done with cancer.
Oh, gosh. Well, it depends how many episodes we watch, right?
I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember when he's done with cancer.
Okay. No spoilers, but I assume it's this season.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
At least I think so. It should be.
So, yeah, theoretically.
I want to beat Snake. Okay. I want to beat Snake.
That's a good goal.
It might not be realistic because I also want to make episodes. So, right.
Hello, hello, and welcome to one of our recap episodes where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas watching Degrassi: The Next Generation from beginning to end. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and join me every other week with Ezra Parter as we watch these characters do whatever it takes and make it through.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
That was the special rave edition of the intro. This is Cuckoo Bananas! Exclamation point, a Degrassi, colon, The Next Generation podcast. I am your host, Keely Bell, and I am joined with
Ezra Parter. Ezra Parter. Ezra Parter.
That's right, guys. I have my very own Chris Sharp.
That's true. I remember when I revealed to you that I could beatbox, I was like, this is going to be horrible. This is going to go so
poorly.
But no,
I was so excited.
You were so into it. I was thrilled. That's when I knew this could work.
Because that that means that one day we could start an a cappella group.
That's true. It does mean that.
We would have percussion.
I would be happy to percuss your a cappella group.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as this we've started on an excellent note. This is going to be a fun episode. Because also this episode that we just watched literally flew by. It felt
so fast.
10 minutes long, so I feel like we're going to be able to recap it so fast. But before we do that, how have you been?
Oh, how have I been? Yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's, I think, probably not the first episode you're hearing after the New Year, but it's the first episode we're recording after the New Year. Is it? Or did we do one?
No, yeah. I think you're correct.
Yeah.
I think we recorded Whisper to a Scream right after Christmas.
Right, right. That's what I was, that's what I was mixing up. Yeah, so... Yeah, I've been good. January, doing that sober January.
You're doing sober January every month of 2023
right.
for the rest of your life?
Probably. I don't know. Yeah. Did you know that 35% of Americans in 2022 said they were doing sober January?
That's
dry
so
January?
Weird.
Isn't that a crazy high number?
Yeah. Like... But is also everyone an alcoholic?
It also feels too low, though, because like everyone says they're doing dry January that you meet.
Sure, sure.
So it's like both sides of the coin. It's crazy.
Maybe it's just that I don't meet many people, okay. But I never heard someone say that.
Really? Oh. Or, I feel like it comes up a lot in the comedy community because so many comedians are drunks.
Yeah.
Like, or at least like do a lot of partying.
Right.
So, yeah, it's interesting. It's a lot of people. And then I saw that stat and was like, that is... both too high and too low. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder what the stat is for how many finish dry January.
That's a great question. I would also love to know that. I bet it's like half.
Half? That's generous.
Really?
I think it's less.
What occasion do people have to drink in January?
I don't know. Friday?
That's true.
5 p.m. somewhere.
That's very true. You know, you're right.
7 martini o'clock.
Just start making t-shirts.
It's 7 martini o'clock somewhere. Stupidest. Yeah, that's great.
I've been okay.
I was gonna ask.
Yeah. Were you?
Yeah. We were still in the bit.
Oh, okay. I left the bit about 3 days ago.
Yeah, that seems to be our pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you've been okay.
I've been okay. I just I finished my hopefully last round of chemo ever. I get to learn if it's my last, you know, at least for now, in a few weeks with a PET scan. And I'm excited to get my life back.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait for you to be free.
Me too.
That day can't come soon enough, that PET scan day.
I know.
I took work off. I told my boss, I'm like, this is for the greatest reason. And she's like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to just getting my life back. I went back to work this week.
Already tired of it.
Kind of.
Well, that's work for you.
Yeah. I have an audition on Sunday, which is exciting.
Amazing.
Happy news, friend of the pod, Aaron Berry, is also doing a musical. So
amazing.
We're thriving out here. That's been my week and, you know, some change since we last recorded. Should we just dive into the episode? I think so.
Is there any other preamble stuff we do?
No.
No.
Not really. Okay. Well, we had fun the last 22 minutes. We had a very fun last 22 minutes because we watched Degrassi, The Next Generation, season 3, episode 9, Against All Odds. How'd you feel about it, honey?
I mean, what an episode. It blew by, like we said. It was like, when it was over, I thought for sure we were in the middle of a very important scene. And then it just was like, oh, no, we're done.
Yeah.
How do I feel about it? I mean, it felt like it was over too fast.
I agree. And I think I will give this episode thus far the award for cringiest episode.
Ooh, yeah.
There is so much cringe in this episode. It is almost unwatchable. I've never really liked this episode that much, which is why I kind of really just wanted to get it over with. And I was just reminded tonight how much I do not like this episode.
I think that it's not possible for me to see a rave scene and not think like, oh man, somebody's getting stabbed.
Why?
Like, I don't know.
Who's just getting stabbed at raves?
Like, I don't know. But every rave scene from shows in the 90s or early 2000s, they all feel exactly the same. And they're all like horror show strobe light. Like, they're all horrible.
Oh my God. I see a rave and I go, I hope nobody's getting like drugged.
Well, yeah, me too. Me too. I hope that too. I just mean like, and they all, I'm taken immediately back to the worst moment in the Matrix trilogy, that giant rave scene, which you probably haven't seen it.
I've never seen it.
But it's like horrible. Nobody dies in that, but it's just like this convulsing of bodies to loud music and flashing lights that I'm just like, I'm out. I don't like seeing rave scenes.
Yeah. This was a whole rave episode, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, we spent a lot of time at this rave. Let's get into the recap.
Let's do it.
Because it's going to just be three sentences. We start the episode. And freshly broken up, Sean and Emma bump into each other in the hallway.
Physically. Make contact.
Yes.
And guess what's on little Shawnee's little neck?
He has a hickey, which I like. I like this like plant. I don't know if I like, maybe if I wrote for Degrassi, I would do this, or I would think to do this. But like, where my brain stands right now as a writer, I don't know if I would think to do this. We plant the hickey before we plant the girl. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know who Sean's been hooking up with.
Mm-mm.
And I know who Sean's been hooking up with, but like,
because it's you,
because it's me. But, if you're watching this for the first time, like you have no clue who Sean's been hooking up with. So then you have to like, we don't get any more Sean this whole episode after these first two scenes. So you're thinking like, oh, who's Sean been making out with? Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Is it Spike?
No, it's nobody that we know.
Oh.
But it's like, it's just so interesting to me that they planted that and then we're going to come back to it later.
Yeah.
I thought that was really fun and clever storytelling.
Yeah, because it seemed like the kind of thing where like, oh, this episode is going to be about Emma dealing with Sean moving on.
Right.
And then that's true, but also not true at all.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then they're in Miss Kwan's English class, which we haven't seen Miss Kwan in a while.
No.
Everything's been taking place in like Mr. Armstrong's class, mm-hmm. or...
I thought for sure Kwan got fired.
For what?
I don't know. But she must have done something over the summer to get fired. Do you think Kwan was dating students?
No. No, I don't. Oh, God. We haven't gotten to any of those plots yet.
Oh, of course they happen.
Of course they happen. More than once.
Of course. Coach. Because of those previous season plotline.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot. I was going to make you guess. Which teacher do you think is going to fuck a student?
Snake.
No. Oh, thank not. God. No,
of course not.
But no,
he's a hero in this show.
Yes, Snake is the best. Is the best man. Mm-hmm. We're in Miss Kwan's English class, and we find out that grade 9 English is reading Julius Caesar, mm-hmm. and she calls on Sean to talk about his thoughts about Julius Caesar, and she asks him, "Didn't she ask him to like relate it to modern
day?" Yeah,
how
did you relate to it?
And Sean says, "William Shakespeare was like some old." Or no, it was
500-year-old white dude. No, it's Shakespeare. Yeah,
he's talking about Shakespeare. Or talking
yeah.
about
talking okay, about Shakespeare.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes, yeah, Shakespeare was some like was some guy was some 500-year-old white dude. What would he know about my life? And to which I say, Sean, you are also white
and 500 years old.
Yeah,
we can all tell.
I'm like, Seanathan, what? They're really committing to the Slim Shady thing. Mm-hmm. Like this is the second time now that Sean has been called Slim Shady.
Yes.
Because when Miss Kwan moves on from Sean, she calls on one Mr. Chris Sharp, who we introduced him earlier in the season.
Right. We briefly saw him.
Mm-hmm. And he answers the question and poor his actor. I don't remember his name. He hasn't gotten any better at acting. He is just a pain to watch.
Yeah, not good. But he does call out Slim Shady for not mm-hmm. understanding Shakespeare, and Emma is like, "Oh my God, this boy can read."
Mm-hmm. She's like, "Ooh, my ex-boyfriend didn't know how to fucking read."
A literate boy?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah. So Emma, we spend the first like 10 minutes of this episode watching Emma watch Chris.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk. She's mm-hmm. just admiring him from afar. So that's mm-hmm. just the first instance where she's admiring him from afar. So then we move on to Ashley and Craig. And Ashley and Ellie are going away for the weekend.
Yeah, they're going to Montreal.
Where?
Montreal.
Montreal?
Montreal.
Is that what you...
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Why were they going to Montreal?
I don't know. I guess Emma... No, not Emma. What's her face? Ellie needed to get away because of her recent breakup or something.
No.
That's what... I swear that's what Ashley said.
Ellie has not dated anybody.
Marco.
Yeah, well, yeah, but like they've been broken up for like weeks. Months.
I don't know. I swear that's what Ashley said. She needed to get away.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why they are going to Montreal.
Montreal.
What is that joke? Is that mm-hmm. from something?
Oh, it's just that it's French.
Is that how they pronounce it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, oui, oui.
I don't believe you.
Parlez-vous les Montreal? Bienvenidos a Montreal. I don't speak French.
I know.
But no, that is how they say it. I hear it all the time watching hockey.
Oh, okay. Okay, that explains it. Yeah. That explains it. So, yeah.
I mean, that's an exaggerated accent.
Yes.
But that is how they say it.
Yes.
They don't pronounce the T.
I see. So Craig is saying goodbye to Ashley because she and Ellie are going to Montreal for the weekend. And
Montreal.
And he is left alone. And Manny approaches him. I have in my notes, like a psycho.
Yeah. Manny is a straight up sociopath.
In this episode, yes.
Yes.
I mean, she might just be. You said Manny's a sociopath while we were watching it. And I said, when it comes to dick, yes.
Yeah. I've yet to hear her deal, like, since she put on that whale tail for the first time, mm-hmm. she hasn't talked about anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. She's been possessed yeah. by the thong. And so, yeah, Manny comes up to Craig and she's like, oh, yeah, the exchange goes, hey, Manny, how are you? And she goes, I miss you.
And he's like, we hooked up one time.
I love it.
There's not so much funny to miss.
It's like, it's also really consistent with her character development. Because remember when they went on the date last year and she went psycho after their
so
date?
Psycho, yeah.
And she was like, what did she say? Like when he starts, this was before Craig and Ashley were dating, when he just says passing words to Ashley. Mm-hmm. And Manny looks at Ashley and then she goes, I want you to stop talking to her. Consistent character development. We love to see it.
I forgot about that. Maybe this is all just to get back at Ashley.
I could see that. Honestly, yeah. Manny's calculated.
Just being talked to.
That one day in the hallway was when it all went wrong.
She thinks Ashley's the reason that Craig didn't want to be with her.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Now she's determined to. What is that? My brain kept saying. Is the movie Swim Fan? Is that when people...
You know, I haven't seen Swim Fan.
When people are referenced like stalker movies, I want to say
Swim
Fan.
Yes, that is a stalker movie, yes.
Yeah, I'm like, that's what made her go all Swim Fan.
That's a good joke. I haven't seen the movie, but I do know that you're right.
I have also not seen the movie.
Should we watch it?
We should try, yeah. Let's watch stalker movies. Okay. A bunch of them.
That sounds fun. I need to take notes.
So he is like, hey, Manny, we hooked up one time. There's not much to miss. Can you let it go, please, essentially?
Yeah.
And she's like, whatever. I actually just came over to invite you to this rave that I'll be attending tonight. Just letting you know, it's here if you want to come. And she gives him a flyer. And he's like, okay, whatever. So then we go back into the hallway and we watch Emma watch Chris again. This time he's beatboxing in the hallway, and he does such a cute little thing. I've always loved this moment where he's beatboxing. He's like, boom, tika boom, tika boom, and then he like looks at Emma and pauses, and then resumes beatboxing. Mm-hmm. It's such a cute little moment. I've always loved that.
Yeah, it is. It's like she took his breath away for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice.
See, love by beatbox. What is it like? What could you say? Like, love at first beatbox. Love and beatboxing. Rhythm of love.
Yeah. No, it's on the tip of my tongue. Oh man.
Boots and cats.
Yes, yes. Love it. Boots, cats. No.
So then we go to the actual B story, because I was like, oh, okay, so Manny and Chris, or Emma and Chris is the A story, Manny and Craig is the B story. No. Emma, Chris, Manny, Craig is the A story.
Mm.
And then Jimmy, Marco Spinner is the B story.
Yes.
So they are cramming for whatever exam they're having in Mr. Armstrong's.
Yeah.
Yes, in Mr. Armstrong's class. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy invites Spinner and Marco over to his place to study that night. Which, like, I'm like, why wouldn't you cram on Sunday?
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing this on Friday?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be cramming all weekend. Who knows? But he invites them over for the night to stay over and study. And Spinner doesn't want to go, or he wants to go, but he doesn't want Marco to come because he's still weirdly homophobic.
Though, he's not comfortable sleeping in the same room as a gay person.
Though Marco somehow has totally forgiven him.
Yeah.
He's just like, he literally calls Jimmy and Spinner his two favorite guys.
Yes.
Which, like, I understand was put in the script to make Spinner uncomfortable.
Right.
But like, what? Like, Marco's comfortable saying that now, that after Spinner was so homophobic,
horrible to him. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's all about Spinner this episode, not about Marco. So they just kind of like wrote it out a little bit.
That's true.
It's pretty lazy.
Yeah, it's pretty lazy.
And I know about lazy.
And Spinner alleges to Jimmy that he is okay with Marco's gayosity. I say words like that all the time, but I think Spinner might have spearheaded the trend. True ally. Anyway.
I don't know. I think Spinner thought it was a slur.
I'm sure he did. So back to the hallway, Emma tells Chris that she liked what he said in English.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris is like, oh yeah, cool. And he walks away, and Manny notices that Emma is down bad. Mm-hmm. She's like, ooh, you like him. And she teases
him. She does it all Shakespearean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Chris Sharp, I do declare I'm in love with you. And
which I guess isn't really, that's more like Tennessee Williams.
Yeah, it's more Tennessee Williams or like fucking, what's that one? Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, very Gone with the Wind.
I
do declare.
And so she's like, wait a second, Chris Sharp. And she pulls out the flyer to the rave and is like, I knew I heard that name somewhere. His cousin is DJing the rave. And I heard he always lets Chris spin a set, which means that Chris will be there tonight. Mm-hmm. And so she convinces Emma to come to the rave with her. And we like smash cut to Emma in her hoe gear ready to go to this rave. And she's like doubting herself. She's like, Chris is so cool and I'm from Planet White Dork. And Manny is like, no, you're not. Not tonight. You look good. We're going to go and we're going to get you that Chris Sharp. And Manny is, you know, Manny's Manny right now. She's got big hair. They did her hair especially like curly this episode, mm-hmm. to, I guess, really drive home the point that she is a whore now.
I guess. Yeah.
Like, you know how that's like a trope?
Yes,
like,
for sure.
Women with like big voluptuous hair are like man eaters. Mm-hmm. They really did that up for Manny this episode.
I feel like whatever Jennifer Lopez is doing, that's what Manny's doing.
Yeah, I see that.
They really Manny from the block, you know?
Yeah, Manny from the block.
Yeah.
If we base your slut meter on how big your hair is, then you're kind of a little slut.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know it.
Ezra has curly hair, guys.
I'm a slut for you, babe.
Thanks. I am not a slut at all because I am bald. So we go to Jimmy's for studying, and Spinner is once again with the spray cheese. Ha 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 jokes. Spinner likes to eat spray cheese and fart. Mm. It is the funniest joke. Ha ha ha. This is now the third time we've referenced it. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to sit next to Marco on the couch, but he does, but he has to.
Yeah, because it's the seat.
Yeah. And so Jimmy tries to turn on the TV to get some background noise, but stumbles upon, on purpose, an adult channel.
Also might be a sociopath this episode. Just putting on porn.
Yeah, Jimmy is way too into porn this episode.
But it's even like he was like, when they left the classroom, the end of the classroom scene, when he's convincing Spinner that it's fine that Marco mm-hmm. comes, he's like, oh, and by the way, forgot to tell you, you and Marco are going to have to share a room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what is your game here, Jimmy?
Is he trying to set them up?
I think Jimmy is running a casting couch.
I see that.
Yeah.
He has cameras hidden, so he thinks that Marco and Spinner are going to fuck.
Do you think that Drake ad-libbed these lines?
No, I don't. Yeah, okay. They're watching the porn. Jimmy turns on the porn. Mm-hmm. And they're just watching it, and then he notices like Marco's there, and he's like, oh, and he turns it off. And Spinner's like, what the fuck? And Jimmy's like, oh, you know, not everyone wants to watch that. And then Spinner's like, ugh. And Marco's like, no, it's fine, seeing naked ladies doesn't make me want to gouge my eyes out. And so Spinner, and so Jimmy's like, okay, cool. And so he turns it back on. Mm-hmm. And then Marco cheeky little Marco goes, besides, the girls aren't the ones that I'm looking at.
And
little
Spinner
gay laughter.
Is somehow confused by this. Spinner's like, can't. Wait, what are you looking at then?
Yeah, he's like, he somehow can't comprehend.
Why would you? Oh, I don't get. What else is there? I don't get.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, he can't comprehend the idea that you were watching porn to look at anything other than the women.
And Marco's like, yeah, I'm looking at the drapes. And Spinner's like, really? And tries to like study. He's like looking at the background, trying to figure out what's interesting about the drapes. Mm-hmm. Like, Spinner, you are dumb now.
Oh, he's always been dumb.
No, but like, you are dumb now.
He's always been dumb, and will stay dumb
now.
Like this. And then it dawns on him. Yeah. Jimmy has to tell him. He's like, dude, he's looking at the dudes.
Yeah.
And Spinner is like, oh, gross. And it's like, oh my God, Spinner. So now we go to the rave, and Manny utters probably one of my top five favorite Manny lines, which is, she's coaching Emma on how she should approach Chris. Mm-hmm. And she goes, Do not talk about the environment. The environment is not sexy. Do not talk about it. And Emma's like, okay. She's trying to like take it all in. We then go to Joey's house. This episode is all over the place. We then go to Joey's house. Yeah. And Craig is trying to stay awake watching a movie with Joey and Sydney. Mm-hmm. But they're like, dude, we hate to tell you this. You seem kind of like a loser. Why are you home?
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's Friday night. Go out. We're trying to fuck. Get out of here.
Yeah. And it's very clear that Joey and Sydney are like, we want to fuck. So you should go. And Craig is like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go to Jimmy's. He lies and says he's going to Jimmy's. And when really we know he's going to the rave.
Yeah. Because he wasn't invited to Jimmy's because he doesn't do math.
I know. I'm like, why wasn't Craig invited? He might not be in that class. But or Jimmy's trying to ice him out.
For dating Ashley.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't really consider that. Jimmy and Craig are friends, though.
Yeah, no, I don't think Jimmy's like that. It's more of a Drake move.
Mm-hmm. So back at Spinner's, Marco pats Spinner on the knee. What prompts that?
They like finally figured out a math. Spinner finally figured out this math thing, and then Jimmy's like, let's stop doing math for a minute. Mm-hmm. And they sit back and Marco's like, well, yeah, you're doing a good job. You're getting it. And pats him on the knee.
Yeah. And he pats him on the knee and his hand lingers just ever so slightly, which on to Spinner's credit. Yeah. That did look kind of like a come on, Marco. I'm sorry.
It was a weird linger. It was a weird linger.
Like, I'm sorry, Marco. I hate to tell you this, but it's point one for Spinner on this one.
Yeah. This is the only time Spinner's ever been right. Mm-hmm. And, that's on you, Marco.
Yeah, that's on you. It's because it didn't just linger. It was like his fingers, like, I'm.
You're touching me, but that doesn't tell them anything.
I know. I'm trying to. His fingers, like, he goes like finger by finger on his knee.
It's a real graze.
Yeah, it's a graze.
Yeah, it's a real graze. Yeah. And it's like slow and it's patient and it's loving
and
it's
tender.
And it's just like communicated so much just with the tip of his fingers. You know? And what it communicated was, Spinner, don't forget I'm gay for you.
Yeah. And Spinner freaked out.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a full on freak out. Oh, no, he does. Because this is when he gets up and it's like, I'm going to
have more spray cheese.
Yeah.
And so I can fart more.
Yeah. And he puts the spray cheese on a cracker and then I think Jimmy turns the porn back on.
Yeah.
And Marco makes a comment.
Jimmy and Marco are discussing Jimmy's like, that woman is going to be my future wife. Mm-hmm. And Marco's like, she's fake as fuck. Now that guy, he's real.
Which tells me that Marco's into like otters.
You think?
Yeah.
And that's, what is that?
An otter is like a hairy
skinny guy. Hairy skinny guy.
Hairy, sometimes skinny, sometimes like doughy. Like, okay. Not necessarily a guy that like pumps iron and like is like.
Oh,
muscly.
Gotcha. Not fake. I see
what
you're saying.
Yeah. Right. But yeah,
I think we can tell that, like, based on what we're hearing about what's happening in this video, it's probably like an average guy hooking up with a complete like fake Pamela Anderson woman.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
Yeah,
I see that. And what position do you think they're in?
I think because Marco was so quick to point out that they're fake.
Oh,
I know that they're on a pool table.
Yeah, I was about to. But it's a lot of people on a pool table. Yeah. It's an orgy.
Yeah, it must be because because earlier Spinner said I didn't know you could fit that many people on a pool table. Mm-hmm. Table. Yeah, I think it's probably at this point a missionary situation but it's not like in the bed missionary. It's like, so it's not missionary. What do you call it when the guy is standing up and fucking the girl laying on the table?
Oh,
standing missionary.
Yeah. I don't know what you would call that. Yeah. So upon hearing what commentary Marco has on the porn, Spinner chokes on a cracker. And he starts like actually dying.
Yeah, he's fully choking.
And Jimmy's like, oh my God. And Marco's like, oh my God, Spin, hold still. I need to perform the Heimlich on you. And he's and he's chasing him around the room.
Yeah, because Spinner's just like, don't touch me. I'm choking because you're gay. Don't touch me.
Yeah, Spinner's trying. Spinner would rather die than have his body pressed against Marco's. And so it's pretty funny. It's pretty silly.
It's ridiculous. They're running around the couch in circles.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, Marco dislodges the cracker from mm-hmm. Spinner's throat. And Jimmy just goes, that was new carpet. Okay.
Again, sociopath.
Yeah. Jimmy's rich sociopath. So we're back at the rave. And Emma is at the front of the dancing, like up by the DJ booth. Mm-hmm. And Chris sees her and he's like, hey, come stand up here next to me while I spin my set. His cousin gives him the booth to spin. And as he's spinning and he's getting the crowd all riled up, Emma does such a me move and steps backward and her heel she steps on a switch and turns off all the power. You mean my greatest nightmare? I cringe every single time I think about that happening. Like, how embarrassing.
How horrible. There's like only one possible spot she could step to mm-hmm. screw this up, and she manages it.
Mm-hmm. And the whole crowd is like, boo! And she's like, I'm so sorry. And Chris, you know, turns it back on and he's like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. And he's laughing. He thinks it's hilarious. And he puts a hand around Emma and he's like, it's okay, Emma. You're okay. And then Melinda appears.
Oh, and she is not happy.
Now, I would like to let's take a time out, team. Mm-hmm. Why is this character's name Melinda? Is that a name?
I don't think so.
I'm like, who took the name Melinda and went, needs to be weirder?
I mean, I hesitate to say this, but do you think in the writer's room they were like, Melinda? Well, no, but she's black, though.
Melinda.
Yeah, like seriously, like is it that level of racism going
maybe,
on? I don't know.
Maybe. I would hope not, but you never know. You really never know. And she shows up and she is Chris's girlfriend, who, do you remember when they planted Chris's girlfriend?
Not at all.
Love Day.
Oh.
He sent a rose to his beautiful Melinda or something
That's right. Yeah.
And we didn't think much of it then. Mm-mm. And now it's a whole plot point. These season three writers are on another level. They're mm-hmm. just like planting, doing little
planting stuff, sociopathing stuff, mm-hmm. racisming stuff. It's all over. It's everywhere.
They're little
everywhere.
Seeds here and there, just popping up everywhere. And Emma notices that Melinda's pissed. Mm-hmm. And Chris clearly is like, oh shit. And he pulls his arm around Emma and he's like, Emma, this is Melinda, my girlfriend. Melinda, this is Emma, my friend. And Melinda isn't having it.
I've never seen, when he said, this is Melinda, my girlfriend, I've never seen a human being more upset to have a girlfriend than Chris in that moment. I'm not saying that Emma should try to hook up with a guy who has a girlfriend, because I'm anti-homewrecker, but like, mm-hmm. that couple needs to break up.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, why? Because we'll get to it when he says the thing. But yeah. Emma is so mortified. She walks away and she mm-hmm. moves through the crowd and she goes to Manny and she's like, oh my God, he has a girlfriend. I need to leave. This is embarrassing. And Manny's like, he has a girlfriend? That's it.
This is perfect. This is your chance.
She's like, that doesn't seem like a very hard obstacle to overcome. And Emma's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, see, look, it doesn't look like they're going to last very long. And you just cut to the DJ booth and they are fighting.
Yeah, they're publicly fighting on stage.
Mm-hmm. And Manny is like, look, what you should do is you see them fighting. Wait till he comes to you, and then he's got a shoulder to lean on, and then that's when you make your move. And Emma's like, that's terrible. And Manny's like, it's effective. And that's, I think, when you said Manny's a sociopath.
Yes. She also, I don't think she blinked once in the rave.
Manny was on E. She was like,
for real. When she went to get waters for Emma, which happens in just a minute, she spiked hers.
But yeah, she convinces Emma to maybe try it. Emma's like, Emma is swayed. She's like, you know what? Maybe. Mm-hmm. And so then Manny walks off to go grab them some waters, and she notices that Craig is there. Craig did come, and she is so hard eyes. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, uh-oh. What's gonna Craiger. Happen?
Mm-hmm. You bad boy.
Oh, Craiger. That's what his dad used to call him before he died.
Oh, really? Craig. Bad boy.
So we go back to Jimmy's, and Jimmy and they're all like, oh, it's time to go to bed. And Jimmy goes to get the sleeping bags, and Spinner is like, dude, I can't sleep in the same room as Marco. And Jimmy is like, dude, stop being homophobic, please.
And Spinner's like, no, you saw. He was chasing me around the room.
And Spinner, and Jimmy's just like, he was trying to save your life.
You idiot. Stop being so stupid for 1 second. God damn.
Yeah. And so we then, it's just a quick little jump to that. So
and then we go back to Joey's house, and they're just fucking.
Oh yeah, we didn't say about how Joey and Sydney.
Oh yeah, that's right. Craig as left. Soon as Craig left, they're like, "So we got the house to ourselves."
And then they start making out. So we go back to the rave, and Chris brings Emma a water, so she didn't need the water that Manny was getting her. Mm-mm. Good, because Manny dropped
wasn't
it
getting
the
her
second.
The water. Yeah, that wasn't
she
happening
dropped
anymore.
That shit the second Craig showed up.
Oh, what? Emma's here? I forgot.
And she apologizes for the whole thing again. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and she's like, I'm sorry for, you know, screwing up your set. And I'm sorry for getting you in trouble with Melinda. And then he says, I'm always in trouble with Melinda, which is why we're like, yeah, break up with her, dude. Why are you still together?
But even just like the way she approached him in the first place was like, you're touching someone else.
Yeah. She was going to Hulk out and step on the whole rave.
I could like see her hair turning yellow as she went Super Saiyan. It was tough.
Is that from Dragon Ball
Z? Yeah, Dragon Ball Z.
It did kind of look like an anime confrontation.
Yeah, it sure did.
It really did. No.
Especially when they started throwing energy balls back and forth up at the DJ booth. What's her name?
Melinda.
Kame Melinda.
And so Chris is like, yeah, I'm always in trouble with Melinda. And Emma goes, do you want to talk about it? And so we see her start. We see the influence of Manny's. Mm-hmm. Pep talk. Her fucked up little pep talk.
Emma's like, okay, I can dabble in sociopathy. This could be good.
And we see the mirroring of what Manny did episodes prior with Craig after Craig and Ashley fought. And then Manny swooped in as soon as they fought and then, you know, got what she
hooked
wanted.
Craig, yeah.
So then we're seeing Emma... We're seeing Emma do the same thing after Manny told her to.
right.
But meanwhile, Manny and Craig are dancing on the dance floor.
And they grinding
on each
other.
And they're grinding on each other.
Good little butt on dick action going. Ugh,
kind of miss grinding.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did you ever at like dances and
sure.
stuff?
Sure. I had a girlfriend in high school.
Yeah? Was it fun?
Yeah.
Notice, listener, how he's not giving many details.
Well, you know, you're not supposed to talk about when you have sex in public. No, I really think that like that kind of dancing, do it by all means. I'm no prude. I'm not saying anybody shouldn't, but I do think it's like way too close to actually hooking up to do in public. It feels weird.
I
always felt weird doing it, but also really good.
I've always been more of a like, yeah, like back to front dancing has never really been like, I did it, but it wasn't like, it never was as like, as hornying to me as some really intense front to front dancing.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, when you like looking in somebody's eyes and, you know, rubbing parts a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
It's just that there's something about a big ass rubbing up against your penis that you just can't get enough of. You know what I mean? There's something about it was just like, oh yeah, I want to dance.
Who's this character? I like him. You have like a little like cigar poking out of the
something about
your mouth.
Something about it. I just want to do it more, you know?
Oh, like a cigar like in the corner of your mouth. We're doing a lot of visual gags.
Oh, yeah.
Episode.
Just a little one that just stays, not one that
I
can move.
Yeah, not one that you move.
Yeah. There's something about it. Makes me just want to go back to Vegas. Of course, right now we're in Atlantic City. I've never not been in a casino.
So Manny and Craig are dancing, and then we go back to, like, we jump from Emma and Chris to Manny and Craig to show the differences and, or, you know, the similarities until their differences.
Yeah.
Where, like, Emma is, like, Chris takes Emma to, like, a little secluded place in the club, and he goes, so how's the environmental club? And then Emma goes, let's not talk about that.
She starts to. She's like, it's, no. No.
Don't talk
Manny
about the environment.
Not to talk about the environment.
It's
not
sexy.
Sexy.
So good. She goes, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about you. And Chris is like, well, and then we go back to Manny and Craig and they're dancing. And then we go back to Emma and Chris. And then he's like, and she asks him about beatboxing. And he goes, well, beatboxing is just you got to find the rhythm. And so he puts his hands on her collarbone. And I'm honestly like, look, Chris Sharp is not a good actor. Nor do I think he's that cute, but they do a good job like making their chemistry is good.
Yeah, this moment is really nice. Yeah. This moment is genuinely like my first thought when he's like close your eyes and put his hands on her chest, I was like whoa. Mm-hmm. And then because that just seemed like a little. I feel like if you're gonna touch a woman's chest, you let her know first
and want her eyes open.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like if you ask and she keeps her eyes closed, fine.
Right.
But I do think that's a please ask first move.
Yeah.
But he does it and then he just kind of taps out a beat on her on her collarbones, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it was really cute and really sexy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have really good chemistry. And he beatboxes he taps out a beat on her chest and you're like, ooh, they look cute. And then we go back to Manny and Craig and they're dancing and she keeps trying to kiss him and he's like,
he's like blowing his head back, but still dancing. It's, it's like, it's such a case of the head wants one thing, the dick wants another.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, just give in at this point.
You came to the rave. It's too late.
Exactly. And Manny keeps trying to kiss him and Craig goes, I have a girlfriend. And Manny utters the iconic response, and I can keep a secret. And then you're like, uh-oh. And then Emma and Chris are getting close to kissing, but then she chickens out because she is too good. She's just too good and too moral. She could never kiss a boy with a girlfriend.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I do think there's truth to, in a moment, Manny's going to say you just chickened out. And I do think there's truth to that. But also, she has moral judgment going
on. Yes, it is. It is. I was making fun of it. But Emma is, you know, thinking of others and trying not to.
Like, if you think about it, like, if she was to kiss Chris, what kind of impact would that have on the environment? The social environment of the school.
Yeah. It would really wreck the what do you call that? The habitat and the ecosystem. It would wreck the habitat of their grade 9 class and the ecosystem of the school.
Absolutely. And the heat of them hooking up would contribute to global warming.
Yeah. Yeah. Too hot.
Way too hot.
So back at Jimmy's, Marco rolls over on the couch and his arm falls on a sleeping spinner, which my question is, why did we have to put the sleeping bag right under the couch?
Doesn't make any sense. If you're worried about sleeping too close together, just move the table a little bit, dude.
Yeah. like go to the other side of the table. Go like put your like there was so much space to have put that sleeping bag down
anywhere else in the room. And you know what I used to do at sleepovers? Never like one-on-one friend sleepovers, because that's different, but like group sleepovers, I would always sleep under the table.
Of course you did. What a fucking weirdo. Why would you do that?
Because I got my own space.
Over you?
No, but like, there's table legs, you know? Like, you're guaranteed your own. It's like, it's kind of like having a bed. It's kind of like having a bed. It's like my own space.
Sure.
I recognize that in hindsight, I'm like, a little weird. But also, it makes so much sense to me in hindsight as well, where I'm like, mm-hmm. No, I just wanted to create a little area like that was mine.
Yes, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Did any of the other kids think you were weird?
I've never
for
been
it?
To the same sleepover twice.
Okay. So
no, I'm kidding. I don't think anybody thought it was that weird.
Okay. Okay. That's right. They're very smart, though. You're mm-hmm. very smart.
And that's you're what he should have done, because guess what? A hand can't fall through
a table. You're right. You're mm-hmm. right. Yeah. Marco's arm falls on Spinner while he's sleeping, and Spinner is like, I knew you were going to touch me.
But also, first, Spinner grabs it and caresses it because he doesn't know it's Marco's.
I don't know what he thought it was.
I think this whole thing is like this is a stereotype that sucks a little bit, mm-hmm. but also the way that they are playing it in this episode, I really think that Spinner is fighting off being gay.
I think if this were made today, Spinner would be having like, I don't think he's fighting off being gay. I think he would be like having like intrusive thoughts of being gay, which actually they did tackle in Degrassi High or Degrassi Junior High. Caitlin Ryan thought she was gay in one episode, and because she had like a girl crush on her teacher, and she was like, am I a lesbian? I'm a lesbian. And she was freaking out about it. And then they were like, Caitlin, it's okay to not know, and it's okay to have these thoughts, and maybe you are, maybe you're not, but you know, blah blah blah. And so yeah, if they had made that today, I could see it being like a conversation of Spinner, it's okay to be curious, especially like when you weren't exposed to gay people.
Yeah, definitely.
And then suddenly a gay person appears in your life, you're seeing gay everywhere. So it's like I could see that being like a valuable lesson, but no, it's just they're making it out to be Spinner being just afraid. And he freaks out and he's like, I knew you were gonna touch me. And Marco's like, what are you talking about?
I was literally sleeping.
And Spinner's like when you chased me around and tried to fondle me. And Marco's like, dude, I saved your life. And you know what? And then he reads Spinner to filth. He goes, your hair is so last season. You wear your shoes never match anything and they smell. And to be honest, dude, you're not even that cute. Spinner's like,
got him.
Spinner's ego a little hit. He's like, damn. I got the fucking point, man.
Margo's like, I'm gonna go sleep in the bathtub, dude. Yeah, I'm out. I just left there. Go back to sleep on the floor because the couch is too gay.
And now I'm picturing Jimmy like getting up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, and then he like is peeing. Sees Marco sleeping.
He obviously pees into the bathtub. And just pees all over Marco.
Oh man. But yeah, imagine Jimmy like going into the bathroom and peeing in the toilet and then going, Marco, what are you doing here? speaking of beds that are not your own, Emma tries to leave the rave and she can't find Manny's
nowhere to be found,
and so she's like, well shit. So she takes a cab home, and she climbs into her basement bedroom, which they had left the window cracked so that they could sneak in and out of it, because earlier when Emma was first dressed in her cute little rave outfit, she said she didn't want to have to explain the bootylicious makeover to her mom. And so she climbs into her bedroom through the window, and she sees Manuela and Craig making out on her bed.
Oh my God.
The disrespect.
The audacity it is, girl.
I like, look, the fans can say what they want. There's a big chunk of Degrassi fans that hate Emma and love Manny.
Sure.
I love Manny. I don't hate Emma.
No.
But guys, you cannot defend your girl on this one.
That she left her friend
so bad
at a rave to go hook up in her bed.
In her bed.
And look, I don't have a problem with, like, if I had parties in high school sometimes, mm-hmm. very rarely, but sometimes. And if somebody hooked up in my bed, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's fine. Use my bed. That's great. I'm glad you're hooking up. I'm going to change the sheets. But yeah, I'm glad you're hooking up. But if you left me at a rave to go hook up in my bed?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Like, at least bring raves. Me with you.
Yeah, at least hook up with me in my bed. God.
But Emma sees Manny and Craig, and she goes, and Manny says, I thought you wouldn't be home till late. I'm sorry. And Emma goes, Chris has a girlfriend, remember? And she looks straight at Craig, and Craig is mm-hmm. like, I should go. And she's like, yeah, you should. And so he leaves through mm-hmm. the window, and Manny tries to apologize again, and Emma's not hearing it. Mm-mm. She sleeps on the floor. She's so mad. She lets Manny sleep on her bed, and she sleeps on the floor.
Wow.
I would have been like, you sleep on the floor, you little slut. Yeah,
get
slut.
The fuck out of my bed, girl. What the hell?
And so we jump to Monday. Anytime they do these like Friday night episodes and then mm-hmm. we jump straight to Monday, I go, that must have been a really awkward Saturday and Sunday.
I think what happens on Saturday and Sunday is all of the characters sit alone in their room staring into nothing because they clearly haven't talked about any of this stuff yet.
Mm-hmm, exactly. They just kind of sit around and stew for a whole weekend until school.
They're Sims characters, and on the weekends, the doors are removed from their bedrooms. They just sit there pissing themselves.
Except who should we trap in the pool and take the ladder out?
Spinner.
Except Spinner, who we put in a pool and we've taken the ladder out. Oh, Degrassi Sims. That would be fun. TheN.com, TeenNick.com used to have a game called Avatar High and Avatar U, where you could basically play one of their, because like they had a couple teen shows on the end. Mm-hmm. You could basically play one of their teen shows and like make like five little characters. I think it was five or six, and then have them like date and like get into drama. Oh, it was so fun. Yeah,
that
Avatar
is
High
extremely
was,
up your alley.
I know, it was so much fun, and because you had like a handful of them, so you could make like your friends.
Yeah.
So like I would like make my best friend, my crush's my best friend's crush. Yeah. Like,
I get that. I sort of did the same because in the earlier NHL games, you could create your own teammates.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put my whole hockey team on and then would play NHL.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's wholesome. Mm-hmm. Mine is definitely less wholesome. I was getting everyone into drama. I was like, we're cheating. We're in relationships. We're breaking up. Oh, so good. I wonder if that's still up. I know it can't be. I'll check.
Hmm.
But... So yeah, on Monday, Marco and Spinner run into each other at school, and Spinner is clearly kind of like, he's got his tail between his legs.
Yeah,
he's
like, he like wants to say I'm sorry but can't do it.
Yeah, yeah. And he and Marco start talking, and Marco's like, man, you can't really think that I would ever like you. And Spinner's like, why not? And Marco's like, well, do you like every girl that you come across? And Spinner's like, if they're hot. And Marco's like, well, yeah, dude, you're not hot. And Spinner's like, well, that's where you're wrong.
You have terrible taste.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I think you have bad taste. And Marco's just like, oh, brother. So now I feel like we have officially kind of squashed.
Yeah, beef squashed.
Yeah, the Spinner and Marco homophobia beef,
mm-hmm.
which I think, thank God.
Like, yeah, for real.
I didn't want to have to sit with this for too long.
Uh-uh.
And now Spinner can move on to being a little bit more likable.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm not a fan of homophobia.
Yeah, no. Homophobia? Did you mean to say homophobia? No, you said homeophobia,
oh,
which
God.
This is. He is phobic for his homie.
Yeah,
you're
stop
right.
Stop being scared of your homies.
but
also, don't be scared of Homer. Also, don't be scared of people who are gay.
Yeah. we've covered all three genders. So then Manny finds Emma and tries to apologize again. And Emma's giving her the silent treatment.
Not interested in your apology.
Mm-hmm. And she is like, what does she say? What does she say that prompts Manny to say, if Craig doesn't like me, why does he keep coming back? Or maybe she says something like, if he likes Ashley so much, why does he keep coming back?
Yeah, Emma's, I think it was that. I think it was, he has a girlfriend again.
Oh, yeah, because Emma says, don't you feel bad for Ashley?
Right.
Don't you feel bad for what you're doing to Ashley? And then Manny says, if Craig likes Ashley so much, why does he keep coming back to me? And then that's when it dawns on Emma that this wasn't a one-time thing.
Right.
This has happened before, mm-hmm. at least one other time.
It's a full-on affair.
It's a full-on affair at this point. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what happened over the weekend. Manny and Craig have decided to affair.
They just shacked up for the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm, because she did, like, the agreement seems to be, at once she said at the rave, I can keep a secret, mm-hmm. that means this will be happening again. Yeah. And we should continue it.
Mm-hmm.
So Emma is like, it dawns on her that this has been happening. And she's like, oh, God. Oh, no. What is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
And they start fighting in the hallway. And it all kind of just culminates in Manny saying, I don't want to be friends with a stuck up prude princess. And then Emma says, well, good, because I don't want to be friends with the school slut.
And then they stare into each other's eyes like kind of lovingly. And I thought they were going to make out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the episode ended.
Mm-hmm. And we freeze frame on them at odds. They're on up. They're just daggers. And now this is the second time that they have ended their friendship in one season.
This one seems like it might stick for a little longer.
Mm-hmm. I won't say anything. Okay.
Yeah, this is a pretty big like moral judgment of character. Not like a fight about a thing, but like you are bad.
Yeah.
Which makes it tougher to come back from.
Exactly. There's going to have to be something that really gets these two back together that's not just Snake having cancer.
Right.
Yeah, so how'd you feel about it?
I don't know. I feel conflicted about this one because on the one hand I'm like it went by quick and it was like pretty fun and I found a lot of humor in it that I liked. And on the other hand, I'm like, everyone sucked this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone sucked.
It's a big sucks. Everyone sucks
and like,
episode.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I feel like, I don't know, just like watching sociopaths work is not my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. Even our heroes of the episode, like our Emma and like, she calls Manny a slut at the end. And like, it's okay for Emma to be mad, but like we can't be over here like throwing around that word, even though I've been throwing it around all episode.
Right.
But it's because I'm joking. I'm kidding.
I mean, I think it's not unfair to say that Manny is behaving in a slutty way.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, but to slut shame is also incorrect.
And also, so, I don't know, to label is wrong too. Yeah, she calls her the school slut.
That's big.
Which like that's a little extreme, yeah. Emma. This is one boy.
Yeah.
One boy. She's not like there's the whole school doesn't need to be involved.
Yeah. And like we haven't even factored in the ninth graders. Like there's definitely some ninth grade girl who's hooking up with multiple dudes.
Oh, certainly.
Right now.
You mean 10th graders.
Oh, whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever's
older they're the
than
ninth
them.
Graders.
Oh right, okay, yeah, 10th graders. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, yeah, and we don't even know if there's 11th or 10th, 12th graders.
we don't know if they exist.
Yeah.
Which,
so
yeah, they might not. Oh yeah, we didn't compare this to your prediction from last week.
Oh, that's right.
Your prediction was that Emma was going to have a gambling problem and gamble away Snake's chemo money.
That was a good prediction. I couldn't have been more wrong.
Mm-hmm. It was very, very wrong. So wrong.
I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. That was a fun prediction.
It was a fun prediction.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, Wasn't I right? No.
No. No, you weren't. No, not at all.
No.
Where do you see this plot going?
I mean, I think definitely there's going to be Ashley Manny Craig drama.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be the question of whether Emma tells or not is going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Emma and Manny are going to stay at odds for a while. And I would guess somehow Craig falls out with the boys because of, not because of this necessarily, but like my guess is that he continues to just be bad
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways.
Mm.
Because I think both Craig and Manny are characters who don't believe that they deserve anything better than to be skulking around. Like, neither of them have high self-worth.
Yeah, I see that. Like, they definitely, they're both kind of like, they've both got the narrative of like, I'm too bad. Like, I don't, nobody gets me kind mm-hmm. of kind of vibe. Like, ever since Manny transformed
mm-hmm.
Into her new self, she doesn't hang out with people. We haven't yeah. seen Liberty in forever.
No.
Like, she doesn't hang out with, she doesn't have friends. She mm-hmm. just kind of, like you said, skulks around and is like, following Craig around like a little lap dog.
Mm-hmm.
And Craig, same vibe. It's like he's too that's a good prediction, I guess you made, because mm-hmm. like he has friends,
mm-hmm.
but he definitely, his self-worth is like oh, I'm just too, I'm he's very, very emo boy.
My dad's too dead.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's really, they both were so nice and cute
mm-hmm.
and now are so sad.
Mm-hmm. Which, that's just being a teenager.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. We've all seen people have little falls from grace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you rate this episode?
Well, I would give it, I'll give it 4 out of 5 Rave LSD tabs.
Wow.
Because it's really fun and funny.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like, but it's not great. Like,
it's written not great.
It's written really poorly, which makes mm-hmm. me want to drop it even more. But it was the most fun episode I've had in a while.
Okay. Yeah, I really don't like this episode. It's at least not an episode that I dread. There are episodes that I just don't want to watch sometimes. Mm. But this isn't one of them. It's more of a nothing episode to me. It's kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like, big things happen in it, but mm-hmm. we don't get to sit in anything. Like, it kind of just goes by like boom, 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 boom. Everything just kind of happens at you and you're like, ah. So for that, I will give it like 1.5 beats on my chest.
Mm. Nice.
I think
yours is more accurate to what it is. I just enjoyed laughing at it.
It is fun to laugh at it.
Yeah, and I feel like we've had so many heavy episodes recently mm-hmm. that this was a necessary catharsis.
Certainly. So our next episode, season 3, episode 10, is called, are you ready? Are you mm-hmm. ready? Did you see what it's called on the?
No, I didn't.
All right. season 3, episode 10 is called Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm. And our main,
we just got Rickrolled.
We got Rickrolled.
Damn it, Degrassi.
We got Rickrolled by this episode. And our main player is Terry.
Terry?
Mm-hmm.
She's still alive?
Yeah, she is.
Wow.
Well, we just
seen
saw her
so
last
long.
Week. We just saw her last
week. Oh,
that's
right. Yeah.
with
sorry,
Rick.
Sorry, she's forgettable. okay, so this is obviously about her and Rick getting too serious too fast. Mm. I think they probably elope, have a child.
My God.
they obviously don't have time to get pregnant and give birth, so they steal a child mm-hmm. from a nursery. Not a baby nursery, but there's just a child they see at a plant nursery and they take it. And then they go on the run because they never want to give up their new child. And it turns out that that child is the Lindbergh baby.
Okay.
I think that's what happens. That's my mm-hmm. real prediction and then my joke prediction. Just kidding. No, I do think that it is about the two of them mm-hmm. Moving too fast
mm-hmm.
and... I think Terry is more attached than what's his face?
Rick.
Rick, who, in order to
remember, this is your serious prediction.
This is my serious prediction. So I won't say that in an effort to get away from Terry, he unibombs. but I will say that he like tries to get distance from her, and she is not into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my prediction.
Okay.
Wait, one thing. I might have it backwards. It might be that he stalks her after she breaks up with him.
Okay.
Yeah, one of those two.
We've got multiple stalkers here. We've got Manny.
Yeah. I think I just have a swim fan on the brain.
Yeah, let's watch swim fan. okay. Solid prediction. Thank you. We've been receiving so many kind DMs and emails lately.
Yeah, it's so nice to see.
I think it's because we've been consistently uploading.
Oh,
we
that
beg
too.
For them every episode.
That's true.
I do think it's because I've been good at putting them out.
Good job,
week to week. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm so excited. I have on my 2023 bucket list, I really want to put out at least 6 weeks of uninterrupted podcasting at some point this year. So hopefully I can do it. I feel like I've never done that. I feel like I end up taking a break every like 4 or 5 weeks.
I feel like that's a very achievable goal.
Yeah, I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
I think so too. But yeah, a lot of people have been saying, most of the messages that I've been getting are people that are like so happy to be hearing from somebody who's never seen Degrassi before.
Mm.
Because so many of us, you know, we've just been watching it on a loop since we were 15.
Right.
And to hear somebody who has never seen it before go through it and like experience it in real time is really fun and refreshing.
Yeah. Shout out to Carrie Scott, who said, "Yes, Ezra, we like you." Great. I love hearing that. That's the only email that Keely forwarded to me, so it's the only one I know about. But yes, if there are others, thank you as well.
I didn't forward it to him. I sent him a screenshot because sometimes y'all, when you message me, there are spoilers in it, and so I have to like trim.
Oh, that's why.
I have to trim things. I'm not trying to hide them from you.
I thought there was like more praise for me than you didn't want to blow up my ego.
No, actually, there is one that I don't think I did read to you. I saw it this morning.
Okay. We'll do it live on air. Ooh, let's read it live on air. Like we promised we would.
Oh, right.
let me read it. Unless there's spoilers in it.
Oh, let me see. Yeah, there's a spoiler in it. Sorry.
Okay, you read it then.
it'll sound funny.
Just edit out the spoiler.
Yeah, it's gonna sound funny.
Okay.
Just
go beep during the spoiler.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is from Jupiter Kohler, who has been a longtime follower of the podcast. I've seen you liking all my stuff for probably like a year now. Thank you. We love you,
Jupiter.
They said, "Love the podcast. The joke about beep was hilarious, especially with what's coming. It is fun to get a fresh view on the show. I have watched every episode."
Wow. Ooh. Mm-hmm. I made a smart joke. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Did you know in the moment that I had done something? Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
So, yeah, that's fun. And then, like, someone had messaged, I think it was Carrie, the same email, about how us talking about whether Sean lives in an apartment or a trailer was funny because by the time, beep, he is in an apartment and not a trailer anymore.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, yeah, huh? So that was funny. Yeah, definitely tell us any things that you notice, like that are like plot holes in the show or inconsistencies, and we can look for them because that'll be fun.
Yeah, and if you send a spoiler-free email with something for me to say to Keely, that'll be fun for me. So do that.
Yes, do that too. So based on this episode, season 3, episode 9, mm-hmm. Against All Odds, are you a Degrassi fan yet?
I would say that this didn't sway the needle for me. I know I rated it well, but it didn't, because this felt like a one-off, like fun episode that isn't normal. It doesn't make me more of a fan. It just was a nice break from the things I wasn't enjoying.
Yes. Yes.
So no.
Okay. Okay.
Not any more so than I was last episode.
Okay.
And having dealt with me taking like 25 minutes to make sex jokes because of that porn scene in the middle of the episode, you still love me.
Of course. Aww. I know, I love you especially because you are a very talented beatboxer.
Oh, thank you. thank you.
Yeah.
A great, great example of my talent.
Next week, we'll be covering season 3, episode 10, Never Gonna Give You Up. And I think the listener is going to be excited to hear it, because I'm certainly excited to watch it.
I can't wait to be exactly right about what happens.
Okay. Can the people follow you?
Oh, yeah. Tag. Plugs.
Plugs.
I am at Ezra Parter on TikTok and Twitter, and at Ezra Parter on Instagram, most active on Instagram. If you're listening to this when it comes out, you've already missed my sketch show that's this coming weekend from when we're recording it. But I have another one. Thursday, January 26th at 7:30 at the Broadwater Second Stage in Hollywood, California. If you're in Los Angeles, genuinely please come.
Definitely go. Message. They're very funny.
Oh, thank you. Message the podcast if you want to like try to get comps for being a podcast listener. Mm-hmm. And I will say no. Just kidding. I'll say yes. That'd be great. That'd be so cool.
And you can follow me at OMG It's Key on Instagram and TikTok, and you can follow the podcast at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast on Instagram, and or email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com. Okay, now it's time to go. thank you guys for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.